that one as well. That's all coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Overseas markets were in a free fall today. Credit Suisse shares cratered more than 60%, then recovered some after a takeover deal announced by rival UBS. In Washington, correspondent Ed O'Keefe says both parties are calling for accountability.
Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling out the Federal Reserve Chairman and a regional body charged with bank oversight.
We need accountability for our regulators who clearly fell down on the job, and that starts with Jerome Powell.
And the Republican chair of the House Financial Services Committee says all options should be on the table to prevent a further crisis.
We need to get to the bottom of whether or not this is a supervisory problem, a regulatory problem, a bank mismanagement problem.
In Moscow, President Xi arrived for talks with Vladimir Putin in a show of support for his war in Ukraine. CBS's Vic Barker is at the foreign desk.
Xi Jinping told reporters waiting at the airstrip when he arrived that he was looking forward to a fruitful visit, calling the two countries reliable partners. The question, will Russia request advanced weaponry from its reliable partner, Beijing? And will China say yes?
New York on standby for possible protests after former President Trump said he thinks he'll be arrested tomorrow in an investigation into alleged hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. Correspondent Robert Costa is in Manhattan.
CBS News has learned that the grand jury may hear today from an additional witness, Bob Costello, a former legal advisor to Michael Cohen, a key witness in this investigation. We're told that Mr. Costello might question the credibility of Mr. Cohen, and this all comes after the fallout over the weekend from former President Trump's comments.
Spring break's gotten off to a violent start in Florida. They've imposed a new midnight to 6 a.m. curfew in Miami Beach after two people were killed in separate shootings. Thousands who live in flooded out Tulare County, California, are under mandatory evacuation orders with a new wet weather system moving in. County Sheriff Mike Boudreau.
The National Guard has two high water vehicles that can carry as many as 30 people at a time. We have used those vehicles, sending them out to those cities to pick up people and pull them out of the area.
Bruce Willis celebrated his 68th birthday.
Happy birthday!
His wife, Emma Heming, his ex, Demi Moore, and his five children sang as a smiling Willis blew out two candles on a birthday pie. The actor was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia last month. Dow futures up three. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
What do you mean he went searching for fresher powder? We have full classes today.
Instructor down at Vesper Ski School.
Toward each other to snowplow, honey, not away.
She needs more ski instructors to slalom through the day-to-day.
Pizza? Fries? Whoa, Braley, no! Pizza, pizza!
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news.
Tax refund shock is everywhere, but what is it?
My tax refund shrank!
Mine too.
The culprit? Pandemic-related stimulus payments and tax credits expiring. In this reporter's opinion, you need a tax expert.
Hey guys, Jackson Hewitt guarantees your biggest refund.
And tax prep is 50% off? Going there now.
50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
And our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, morning to you guys.
How's it going over there?
Pretty good. How's your Monday going?
Not bad. We're enjoying the sunshine right now. What else can we look forward to today?
Yeah, still seeing a good amount of sunshine out there today. A few scattered clouds mixed in here at times, but otherwise on the way to about 43 as south-southwest winds to pick up about 10 to 15. Otherwise, Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, 23 for the tonight's lows, and then cloudy Tuesday, upper 30s. Maybe see a little bit of rain or snow shower chance late in the day tomorrow. Chance for rain or snow showers, a little mixed precip Tuesday night, maybe even a little slushy accumulation in spots, 33 Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, still a chance for a little light mix early, turn into a chance for a couple of rain showers, 49 Wednesday. Chance for a few showers Thursday, 42, and then breaks the sun Friday into Saturday, some mid to upper 40s for highs as we look ahead towards the weekend. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not bad at all, Paul. Did want to wish you and all your meteorologist friends a happy first day of spring.
That's right. Yeah, ringing it in this evening, or 4:24 p.m.
I was going to ask. Okay, I was going to nicely. Paul's got it right and ready to go. Yep. Of course he does. You're pro. Appreciate that. Go. So right around 4, yeah. 4, that's around when the official kickoff of spring.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
Right on.
Yep.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
Yep, you guys too.
Best in the business right there, yeah. Friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. That was pretty cool. Appreciate Paul joining us. So I wanted to let everybody know, of course, we got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. That is coming up a little bit later. We're also going to get into how old were you when you finally felt like an adult? There's plenty of answers for that one. But let's start off right here. People used to make a big deal out of secret family recipes. But now they're tripping over themselves to reveal anything they can on TikTok.
Right.
That is kind of funny to me. They go to the grave with this secret or whatever or what have you. You're never going to find out what we put in the popcorn to make it mm-hmm. special or what have you. But now they cannot wait to share this stuff. In a new poll, 46% of people say that they have at least one secret family recipe, with 10% saying it's their parents' recipe, 16% saying it dates back to their grandparents' generation, and 10% saying it's even older than that.
Mm-hmm.
6% say it's from their generation, which apparently means they or a sibling created it.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're a culinary savant. There's a culinary savant in the family tree. When asked how likely it was that at least one of those secret recipes originated in a cookbook or a magazine, 11% of people admitted that it's very likely, and 14% said it's somewhat likely. 19% of people insist that it's a family creation that their family invented.
Hmm.
But other people are kind of like, hey, wait a minute, I saw, you know, Betty Crocker doing that or whatever and stuff. You know, that's not you. Wait a second. I don't know. This is one of those ones that I think is fun, but I also don't take too seriously.
Right.
As seriously as my family always taking food. I don't really... I think that like when it comes to my nana's sauce, my nana's marinara sauce she would make, I would think that would probably be the big one in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And the recipe of that was kind of locked in her brain, and that's the way it was handed down to her, and her mother was handed down to her. It was just something that you watched somebody cook,
mm-hmm.
and then you mimicked what they did.
Right.
And that's mm-hmm. that was the hand down of the recipe. So what a pinch is to my great-great-grandmother is different than what a pinch was to my nana.
Mm-hmm.
So this quote-unquote family recipe has evolved and changed through every generation. My hand is much different than my nana's hand. So a pinch to me is not going to be the same. And when you don't use measuring things,
right.
Italians, my fellow Italians, this is what happens.
Adds to the difficulty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sometimes that's the best cooking.
And it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change it for a thing.
Yeah.
As much as it frustrates me sometimes, I would not change for a thing. I also think it has made it a quote-unquote secret, even though we haven't really necessarily kept it kept things under wraps.
Right.
We don't really hide what we put into the marinara or anything like that, but how much and all those things, that's something you're gonna have to figure out yourself.
So what if the secret is that it actually did come out of a cookbook?
right.
That's a family secret.
I would be impressed by that, just because I didn't know that there were cookbooks that far back, like as far back as this is for our family as it goes. Oh yeah. There's some old cookbooks out there. How do you guys feel about this one?
I don't think it needs to be a secret.
No.
I think if you make something delicious and you want to share it, there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's no shame in getting recipes from a cookbook. I mean, that's
no.
how we share the information. Mm-hmm. You know, I make a cherry custard pie that is my, that I know of is my great grandmother's recipe. But I have no clue where my great grandmother got her recipe. Was that something she created, or was that something she got out of a cookbook and she just
and
made it
just
so often?
Wrote on a recipe card.
Exactly.
I mean, outside of the kernel. You know, with the KFC thing and stuff, I don't know if you really, like, why a family recipe would mean that much. Or a family, I'm sorry, a family secret recipe right. would mean that much. Why a family recipe? I get that. I just got done rambling about mine. But why keeping it a secret, I guess, wouldn't, I don't see the big deal, you know? It's a little like my conversation about lead guitar players all the time. I always admired the Eddie Van Halens, the guys that, like, I don't need credit for inventing finger tapping. Just go ahead and try it at home. All you young guitar players, you guys should try this at home. Like, I think that's the essence of learning in general, about no matter what you're talking about. So to me, I don't really see it. But obviously the Colonel has got some financial interest in keeping his secrets.
Like
and
Bush's
such.
Baked beans. You know, that secret family recipe.
Right.
I wonder if that's kind of where it originates from, because, you know, there used to be a lot more, like, competitions for, think about the state fair and, and competing for winning the pickle prize, you know? I mean,
if you're going to tell
that's
the
why.
Yeah, I think that's a really good, that's a really cool tie-in, Melissa. Right. Nicely done. I also think if you're going to tell the family recipe to somebody, the dog seems like a good one to tell it to. That seemed like a good idea. Like the Bush's beans, man. They might have been onto something
there.
I'm in a smart mode.
Often there's the same basic principle on how to make certain foods, like chili. It's the same principle, but everybody has their own variety, their own variation of it. And that's the part that becomes a family secret, is that maybe they got the original recipe out of a cookbook generations ago. But through the generations, they found a spice that they liked that wasn't in that original recipe, that's made it their own recipe.
Cooking is like playing a game of Monopoly. Every family has a different set of rules. Every family has a different way they play. It's very similar. Very similar. I like the idea of a family recipe. I love the idea of handing those things down. I think it goes way back to everything else we were talking about earlier in the show, of the first storytellers. Well, it was about telling and passing on our history. Some of it was entertaining ourselves, too. And recipes, jokes, all these things are storytelling. I mean, a recipe is a story. It really is. It's a story of ingredients and how you came to love this item. I love this thing that your relative has maybe made thousands of times. You never really thought about it until you started to make it yourself. I like that idea of it. I also like the idea of sharing this stuff, though, too. I think that's fun.
We should have a show that does something like that.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because I would love to pitch this idea to you, too. Because you guys know a lot about... I'm joking. The Kitchen's Open will be coming up at 9. Be looking for that about 9:04-ish. That's when we'll have the Kitchen's Open. Big shout out to Chatterbox Catering. Big appreciation to them. So I would say the final part I wanted to touch on with this, though, the idea that, you know, you have this treasured recipe that you think is, you know, secret or sacred, and then you find out that they did get it from a cookbook or something like that. I wouldn't let that tarnish anything for you.
No, it doesn't make it any less special, the moments, the way that was shared with you, and the moments that you had with your, you know, probably mother or father, whoever taught you the recipe.
I think that's important. Here's an interesting one. If you're a parent, you always want to embrace your kids' curiosity, especially if they're building important life skills. But that isn't always easy, especially if your 9-year-old is cooking dinner.
Okay.
A new poll asked mothers about their kids' first creations in the kitchen. And 46% of moms said that they've had their kids cook them an unappetizing surprise meal. About half of those moms say that they felt like they had to eat the concoction, and so they did. 49% say that they've pretended to eat something their kids made, maybe using the same tricks their kids use, like spitting into a napkin or giving it to the dog or something like that. Yes. For better or worse, 82% of them say that their child took this as a sign to make food for them more often.
Okay.
But that's better than the alternative. 24% of moms admit that they've upset their kids by turning down their food.
Oh.
Didn't do a ton of this growing up, but I do remember my sister and I, for a Mother's Day, wanted to make my mom breakfast in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't, I don't know if we didn't have eggs or something like that. I don't know what it was. But I remember we basically like, oh, mom likes cereal. But we wanted it to be special. So we put all of her favorite cereals in one bowl and gave it to her. And you could not have told me that this was a bad idea. Like, the creators of those cereals in that kitchen right there could have told me, James, don't do this. I mean, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Get out of the way. I'm going to give this to my mom. She's going to love this. I still remember the cringe, the look on her face as she ate, like, part of that cereal. She'd mm-hmm. eat the whole bowl, but she ate a good portion mm-hmm. of it. And Pam Mayles, a warrior. I don't know how she did that. I mean, and that wasn't even nearly as bad as some of the things that my kids did for me.
Right.
Boy, that is rough. Uncooked toast. Like
bread.
Bread, yes, which is bread, I understand. But it's different when it's touched the hands of a 5 or 6 year old that have already touched like peanut
everything
butter.
Everything else,
all.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a kid put peanut butter or butter on bread and then try to toast it?
Oh.
Oh, that's fun. That's a joy.
Oh,
try that one
toaster.
Out, everybody.
I don't recommend it.
No.
No. No, God, no.
Sounds like a mess.
Oh, yeah. Still cleaning it up.
Oh. But what a wonderful opportunity to have that become a learning experience. You know, your child makes you something.
Yeah.
It comes before you. It may not be the best. And then you say, hey, you know, that was great. Let's do something together next time. And you help them and you teach them in the kitchen how to put things together.
Everybody eats. Everybody's got to eat. One of the greatest joys in life is not only cooking for yourself, but cooking for others.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching kids these skill sets never hurts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no downside.
It will definitely help them.
And the
earlier on in life.
The earlier, the better. My mom, when my nephews were like 3, 4 years old, would pull out the step stool and have it beside mm-hmm. her and would show them, here's how you peel a potato. Here's what you do with a potato in the mixer to make it into a mashed potato. So they were helping at a very young age, and they still love cooking.
Yeah, it's one of my earlier memories, certainly, being out there, getting things off of high shelves for my Nana in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and then her putting me to work,
mm-hmm.
and the skills that, you know, the joy of cooking for me started right then and there.
Mm-hmm. And a wise woman teaches their sons mm-hmm. how to cook as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very true. Very true.
Everybody's got to eat.
Absolutely.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about eating with our friends at Misty's Menu. It's coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Arts Council presents Chris Cruzy. The voice is Chris Cruzy with his full band at the Performing Arts Center in Wisconsin Rapids, March 24th. Get your tickets anytime at saveoftheArts.org or call 715-424-2787. Cruzy, March 24th, with the Arts Council, your performing arts connection.
It's the only forum both Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates will take part in, and you can hear it Tuesday, March 21st at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station.
News director Terry Bell will anchor our special coverage as Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly debate some of the biggest issues facing the court, from redistricting to abortion access.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates debate Tuesday, March 21st, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected today with highs around 43. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Highs level off around 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody, to the Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's time to do some celebrate with our great friends over at Misty's. We encourage you to treat yourself. They are open right now till 2, open 6 to 2. And yep, Misty's is open 7 days a week once
Yay!
Again. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Hey, we are so happy to say that. We are so thankful for our friends over at Misty's, not only opening their doors and treating this community so well for so long, but being a part of things here at WFHR for as long as they have. Mm-hmm. We've enjoyed doing this for decades with Misty's, and we appreciate the gang over there. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's Menu right now. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Hope you guys had a great break.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We need a 1 through 3 from Beth.
3.
All right, that gives us our qualifier. All right, get right into this. All right, and first up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Jim Langhoff.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday, Jim.
I apologize, everybody. The microphone was in the way of the first name, and so I couldn't see. It's Jan
Langhoff. Oh.
I apologize.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Happy birthday to you, Jan.
Jan, I am so sorry. I apologize. You can call me, since my name's Jim, you can call me Jan now. You can call me. Jan, happy birthday to you. Hope you have a great one.
Yes.
We also wish a happy birthday to Christina Layton.
Happy birthday, Christina.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Christina. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifiers today celebrating their 47th anniversary.
Yay!
Congratulations.
John and Cheryl Klingforth.
Happy anniversary, Aww. John
Happy
and Cheryl.
Happy anniversary.
Celebrating their 47th. Now, 45 is sapphire, 50 is gold, so split the difference.
Get a gold sapphire ring.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You got to do to cover it. But happy 47th anniversary, John and Cheryl Klingforth.
Yeah.
You're our qualifiers today.
Wow.
Great way to kick off the week. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, congrats, you two. We take a look at some celebrity names right now. Ruby Rose is 37. She was Stella on Orange Is the New Black. She was the mute assassin on John Wick in the John Wick movies, and briefly was Catwoman for a little while. She hung up the cape and cowl after one season.
Okay.
Kind of gotten a little. I wouldn't say. Well, here's an interesting question. Is she being blackballed or not? Now, she quit Batwoman because she said that the schedule was too much for her and didn't want to continue with the schedule. It was a lot. And so now she's complaining, but she is saying that she is having a hard time getting work because people don't want to hire her because she quit Batwoman. And everything. And it's kind of like, well, all right, but if I'm going to hire somebody for a series, my plan is this series is going to be the next, Dallas.
Right.
It's going to be on for 20 seasons
right.
or whatever. Outside of some extreme circumstances, every TV producer, TV caster is casting for 20 years. Like, they want to be able to have a show that'll last. And if I don't know if I can count on you, I don't know if I'm going to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's your greatest ability is availability, like
right.
you know, it's so I don't like the idea of somebody, you know, being type or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
or being blackballed. Obviously, I don't think anybody's in favor of that. But I mean, like, I get a little tired of people, as my fellow actors or people in the entertainment industry, kind of, well, what do you expect? Like, there's a job to do. I understand that our job is a little different than others, but at the end of the day, a job's a job. Like, you got work to do, get to work. You're getting paid a dang good paycheck, get to work. If you can't handle it, that's cool, that's fine. Nobody's making you do this. Go find something else to do.
Right.
You know, go find small projects, or maybe you like to be in, I don't know, do community theater. Do if you still want to act.
Do movies, do live yeah. theater, that kind of thing. I mean, this is a reality check that there are consequences to our actions.
Yes.
We're free to choose,
yes.
but we're not free from the consequences of those actions. And so one of the consequences of deciding, you know what, the schedule's too busy, is people see that and they're going to think, well, then she doesn't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to trust
right.
if she's not going to be in. But on the opposite side is maybe she's realized, okay, if I go into this, I need to know that this is what the schedule's going to be. And now that I know that, I'm willing to do it. So it's a matter of having a conversation. But she shouldn't be out there complaining that nobody wants to hire me for a series if she's the one that quit the series because she complained it was too much time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into this in Playmakers a little bit later, but I got a couple of friends of mine that are from the New York area, and and one of them is a huge, huge Jets fan.
Mm.
And he was very, very excited for about a month about the idea of getting Aaron Rodgers. And in the past week, that has changed because Aaron Rodgers said he was 90% sure he was going to retire or whatever. And then he came out of the darkness and told the Jets spoke to him, which that's never happened to anybody in human history, but okay. The idea, well, wait a minute. Like, if he was that all in on retirement, you know,
right.
Do I want him? Is he just getting a paycheck now? Mm-hmm. Is he just phoning it in? What is this and stuff? Like, all of a sudden. So it's interesting. Like, there's that part of it, too.
Right.
There's a, well, I can make it much better living and easier living just acting. That's what a lot of people think. That's what a lot of people walk into the industry for,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're a pretty face or you can throw a punch, you know, martial arts or some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Cedric Yarborough is 50 today. Kenneth on Speechless. Officer Meow Meow on BoJack Horseman. He was also Deputy Jones on Reno 911.
Mm-hmm.
He's very funny on Reno 911. Michael Rappaport, 53.
Oh, wow.
Homeland Security's Don Self on Prison Break. He was Gary on Friends. Doug Gardner on the... on Apolitic, I don't know that one. Atypical. That's what it is.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Atypical. That I didn't know. Okay. Kathy Ireland is 60.
Wow.
I just out of curiosity, just because I have not seen her name in such a long time and everything, I'd pull her up. She didn't look any different.
No.
She looks great. Great. Mm-hmm. Looks wonderful. That was one of the, for many of us kids of the 90s or 80s, that was one of our first crushes, mm-hmm. like almost all of us.
Well, she was in 13 consecutive Sports Illustrated swimsuit yes. issues.
There is something about the eyes with her that mm-hmm. are very, like, they stand out. She's a beautiful woman and still mm-hmm. is and everything. Those eyes don't age, you know? So that, I think that's part of why her beauty is still where it is and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew more about her. I feel so cringy when I talk about supermodels. You know, a Heidi Klum or somebody like that, I know, well, she does entrepreneur work. She does a lot of work for literacy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always want to bring something else up than, hey, she's got a nice smile, you know?
Right.
I feel really tacky about that. I don't necessarily think it's something I should feel bad about so much, but I do feel a little cringy society-wise. Like, are we mm-hmm. still doing this? Where we're just talking about somebody because they got a pretty smile? Like, feels like there's more. I guarantee Kathy Ireland's done more in her life than smile pretty.
I think she tried acting for a while.
Oh, yeah, she tried.
That's a key word right there, yeah.
It's her birthday, so I'm trying to be nice. There's a reason I didn't bring up that part, yeah.
No, she's also an author, and she does philanthropy work with March of Dimes, Feed the Children, City of Hope.
I don't remember the last time I heard of a supermodel that didn't do some kind of like the work like that. Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's see here. David Thewlis is 60. He is a werewolf, Remus Lupin on the Harry Potter films. Fantastic character actor. One of the better English character actors you're going to see. He's done a lot of voice work over the years, too. But he's one of those guys... where he was recently in the Sandman series too. That's where I saw him. Okay, he was really good in that too. The great Holly Hunter is 65.
Really?
Yeah, Holly. She is Detective Grace in Saving Grace on TNT for many years. Penny McGill in Oprah the Route. Though I forgot about that. I love her performance in that. I love Holly Hunter.
She has such a unique, iconic voice.
Won an Oscar for The Piano. many people remember. But the mom in The Incredibles is what a lot of generations have known her for and like grown up with her as, which is so funny to me.
Yeah,
she's in a movie that I may be the only person in the world that will say it's not a bad movie, but there's a movie called A Life Less Ordinary with Ewan McGregor and Cameron Diaz. Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter are in it, those four. And Holly Hunter and Delroy Lindo play basically, they're kind of angels, but not, and they're these supernatural kind of things, but they play partners, and their chemistry is through the roof. You would never probably think of those two being in a room together, you know, Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter, but they are so good together, and it's such a sneaky, fun movie. It's a sweet, romantic type movie, while also being one of those 90s movies that didn't really hit the mark completely, you know, it was a little off, a little weird, but man, I love it, and it's one of my favorite performances of hers. Such a good actress. One of the greatest directors of all time, if you ask me. Mr. Spike Lee is 66
wow.
today. Won his first Oscar finally for a Black Klansman. Incredible movie. Do the Right Thing, mm-hmm. Malcolm X, She's Gotta Have It, the original Kings of Comedy. Spike Lee is a fantastic director.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about his directing, not his acting. And not him being a Knicks fan, or not him doing Capital One commercials, although I do believe he directs those. When I say Spike Lee is one of the greatest directors I've ever seen, and I think of all time, I'm not one necessarily saying that. Martin Scorsese is saying that.
Wow.
Steven Spielberg is saying mm-hmm. that. Like, the greats are telling you that. And they're not just saying that in interviews, which I have heard them do. I've seen Spielberg use techniques of Spike Lee. Spike Lee, back in School Days. School Days was Spike Lee's first movie. It still holds up. I still think it's a great movie, especially the soundtrack. Lawrence Fishburne, one of his first movies. There's a scene where at the end of the movie where Lawrence Fishburne just looks into. He's so frustrated. And he just screams. And it's him in a dolly being pulled around and moved around and everything. It was traditional for the director to sit in that chair and mm-hmm. then direct that scene and pull that. And then you've seen that scene a million times in your life. But what Spike Lee did was, hey, Lawrence, you get in the director's chair, and we're going to turn it around. And it's going to be a point of view shot, so that all of a sudden we're getting this point of view shot of you moving all over, fluttered all over in a crazy. Now, you've seen that a bunch of times now, but Spike Lee was the first to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody did that before Spike. Like, that's a technique that Spielberg, Scorsese, everybody has done since, and every one of them give credit to Spike Lee for it.
Wonderful.
There's being good at what you do, and then there's being Alfred Hitchcock, and like giving people a different, a literal different, like, camera angle that nobody had done before.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Spike Lee did. Like, that, I know that he gets a lot of, like, hype and a lot of talk and everything, and his movies tend to be a bit divisive sometimes to people and everything. But just looking at the man as a talent, just his skill set,
mm-hmm.
Just strip everything else away, and you look at that, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute! Like, this guy's incredibly gifted and talented at what he does. Let's see here. Jimmy Vaughn is 72 today. Stevie Ray Vaughan's older brother and a member of the Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Mm.
Tough Enough and things like that. I believe he was one of the guys that taught Jimmy how to play. Or,
wow.
Stevie how to play. Carl Palmer is 73, the last man standing of Emerson, Lincoln, Palmer. Mm. Good band. A lot of good hits from them. A lot of people will tell you, arguably the greatest hockey player in in history. He's not, but a lot of people like to tell you, Bobby Orr, 75 today.
Yeah.
Hockey Hall of Famer and one of the greatest to ever play. But he's not. You can't put him up there with Gretzky. I'm sorry, you can't. There's no putting Bobby Orr up there with Gretzky. I know a lot of people love to, but
he's key in a lot of crossword puzzles.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point. The best dressed coach of all time and one of the greatest coaches of all time, Mr. Pat Riley, is 78.
Wow.
Yeah, Miami Heat president, Pat Riley, the head coach of the Showtime Lakers, of course, and coached other teams as well. Got about four or five, I want to say. Wait a minute. No, he's got more than that. Got a lot of titles, Mr. Pat Riley.
Mm.
Hal Linden is 92 today. He is Barney Miller.
Yes.
Hal Linden is 92.
Wow.
That is awesome. And congratulations.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm glad he's there. That's cool. And some people no longer with us. William Hurt, born on this day in 1950, passed away in 2022. Just one of the most natural actors I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He was most recently Secretary of State Ross in Captain America Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that tells the Avengers the team is going to be placed under UN control and all that. But William Hurt has one of the greater, longer careers I can think of when it comes to an actor. When it comes to an actor whose life was cut short. Like, he still lived a good, longer life,
mm-hmm.
but even with that being said, I don't think anybody would tell you that his life wasn't cut short, that, lived until 71.
Right.
Well, I think that you should get longer than that,
yeah.
I personally, and I'm trying to think of the, So Damages, he won some Emmys for that, I know. He was off, he did some stuff off Broadway. Was it Altered States or Body Heat that he won the awards for? Academy Award for Best Actor for Kiss of the Spider Woman. That's what it was. And he was nominated for that. He won for Children of a Lesser God and Broadcast News. Mm. Yeah, so pretty decent career. Also could have won for The Big Chill, The Accidental Tourist, Alice, William Hurt. Just one of the most natural, gifted actors I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Carl Reiner, born in this day in 1922, passed away in 2020. Comic genius and Meathead's real dad. He directed The Jerk, The Man of Two Brains, Oh God, Summer School. I will always be thankful to Carl Reiner because the Jerk will always be one of my top five favorite comedies of all time.
Yeah.
I don't care. Cancel culture, all that stuff, be darned. I will always love that movie. Chester Bennington, born in this day in 1976. He did pass away way too young in 2017, of course. Chester was the gifted voice of Linkin Park. Chicago's own, I'll admit that. One of the more, I was not very into Linkin Park when they were really, really popular. I got more into them when a movie, Queen of the Damned, came out. And Trent Reznor and some others were in charge of like finding the voices of this character, Lestat, who was a vampire who was supposed to have the greatest voice of all time and everything. Mm-hmm. Chester Bennington was one of the voices chosen for that. Also one of the most versatile voices. Like that guy, he could do it all and make it sound either beautiful or gothic or horrific or whatever he wanted to in the moment. Such a gifted, talented singer. One of those guys where you see live footage of them and they're just, you know, it's about an hour or two into a concert and then they belt something out that hits an octave that you didn't know human beings could hit or something like that. Like such a gifted and an incredibly good songwriter as well. Very, very good songwriter. It's gone way too young and it's part of the reason why we talk about suicide and we talk about suicide awareness is because of people like this that we lost. Jerry Reed, born in this day in 1937, passed away in 2008. Smokey and the Bandit superstar. He was Coach Red in The Waterboy as well. A lot of people might remember him from that. But my little brother remember him as, of course, from Smokey and the Bandit. And, of course, Fred Rogers, born in this day in 1928, passed away in 2003. We were just celebrating Mr. Rogers earlier because it's his birthday.
Yeah.
Would have been. Passed away in 2003. So thankful to everything Mr. Rogers did for all of us. And Ozzie Nelson, born on this day in 1906, passed away in 1975. The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, of course. And the Nelsons and so much else that they've given us. We will take a quick commercial break, but one more time, want to wish a happy birthday to Jan Langhoff.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Happy birthday, Jan.
Christina Layton.
Happy birthday, Christina.
Happy birthday.
And a happy 47th anniversary to John and Cheryl Klingforth.
Yes.
Happy anniversary.
Sit back, take a listen to Melissa's News, and then head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Innovative farm practices for long-term success showcased at the Mid-State Farm Tour. Over 100 people attended the Technical College's annual farm tour earlier this week. Attendees visited Marshland Dairy in Spencer. Owners Josh and Sarah Moga have modernized the farm using automatic alley scrapers and a robotic milker. The second tour at Bell's Runway Acres highlighted their dedicated grain operation with every aspect performed in-house. The day ended with networking and sharing of ideas with current agriculture students, agribusiness, and other interested parties. Nacoosa residents asked to give input as the Board of Education begins their search for a superintendent. The community survey will help gather information to assist the board in creating a profile outlining the skills and characterizations the community is looking for in candidates for the position. The survey is on the School District of Nacoosa's website and will be open through March 20th. You can pick up a paper copy by contacting the superintendent's office at 715-886-8000. Marathon County is closing some of their snowmobile trails. Zone 4 trails closed at midnight this morning. All other zones are in fair condition, but check before you use water crossings. Wisconsin voters will decide if judges should be able to set cash bail higher. Social justice groups want you to vote no. State Senator Chris Larson said the cash bail system hurts people who have no money.
In the state of Wisconsin, we are trying to set up a system that says you are guilty until proven rich.
21 states and the federal government consider a defendant's risk to the public when keeping accused people in jail before their trials. Two questions on bail will be on ballots April 4th. Area high schools have events this weekend. See performances of The Little Mermaid at Nakusa High School on Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. and a matinee performance on Saturday at 2 p.m. Assumption High School in Wisconsin Rapids has a talent show on Friday at 7 p.m. and a dinner and talent show on Saturday starting at 5 p.m. Come see everything from magic tricks to unicycling. Don't miss these talented students at events this weekend. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on your locally grown radio station.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the 5 things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Warm ovens and great smells aren't the only reason people love working at Country Hearth. Job security at a third-generation family-owned company, great pay and benefits, and the opportunity to rise within the company are also in the mix. Besides production, there are a lot of other positions throughout the bakery. Maintenance fixes and maintains machines. Sanitation keeps the machinery and facility clean and safe. Shipping coordinates getting products from point A to point B, and there are delivery driver positions too. Are you ready to find the best fit for you? Find out more and apply today at countryhearthjobs.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly cloudy skies expected today with highs around 43. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Highs level off around 38. About an inch of snow tomorrow through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You'll say we've got nothing in common.
Seems like a different version.
No common ground to start from, and we're falling apart.
Welcome back to the morning show, everyone. Hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yep.
Yes, yes. I just can't remember the name. It was a weird, it was like a one-hit wonder band. I can't remember the name of the song. It was something blue or something like that, I think, I want to say. I don't know.
And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany's? She said,
sounds like a different version, though. Seems like a or maybe I just haven't.
I remember.
Yeah.
Deep Blue Something is the
Deep
name.
Blue
that's
sea.
It. That's it. Deep Blue Sea. Something. That's it. I knew it was something like that. Mm-hmm. I also have probably not heard about that song since 1997. I probably have not heard that song since 96, 97, something like that. And I mean, that can make you feel old. Hearing music like that, you know? I mean, geez, I was in high school when that came out. Well, how old were you when you finally felt like an adult? Maybe it was stuff like that that made you feel that way. If you're under 40 and still don't, you're not alone. Someone polled 1,000 millennials and Gen Zers between 18 and 42, and 57% said that they still don't have a handle on the whole adulting thing. 80% of Gen Zers and half of millennials. If you found it found the hardest parts about adulthood are managing money, saving for retirement, saving for a home, finding a job you like, and figuring out relationships. It also looked at some specific life skills adults under 40 still don't have, like car stuff. 63% couldn't change their own oil if they had to, 48% couldn't change a tire, and 42% couldn't jumpstart a car.
Wow.
Tying a tie, 46% never have. It made the top five for women and men. Sewing up a hole, 41% wouldn't know where to begin.
Wow.
Maybe the hole. Yeah. Maybe start there. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. I'm just being a jerk.
Needle,
I'm just being
thread.
Sarcastic. Changing a diaper. 32% said that they can't do it. Every human being once in their life should change a diaper.
Absolutely.
I don't care
Somebody
if you have.
Somebody did it for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Filling your taxes. 22% don't know how it works. Got no clue. Using a grill or to barbecue. 18% don't know how. Now I'm getting angry. Now I'm getting upset.
Well, hey, 18 isn't a very high number.
Yeah, it's
at least it's only 18.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right. Ironing something. 12% can't iron. A third also said planning out meals is one of the hardest parts of growing up. So this last stat makes sense. 46% of people, 42 and under, have had ramen in the past month.
That's just an easy go-to.
Yeah.
And a comfort food for some
of us. Absolutely.
I think a lot of, a lot of life skills, a lot of these kind of skills, a lot of this stuff happens organically. It's stuff that's handed down. Knowledge tends to be handed down. Mm-hmm. If your parents have never changed the oil of their own vehicle, they're not probably not going to be able to teach you how to do it, at least not right.
Nor do they have the tools to do
right.
it.
Yeah. However, that same family may be able to teach their kid sewing where another family didn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. That's kind of how our society was built. Some people do this for a living. Some people do that for a living. Mm-hmm. It's how we take care of many different things. I do think, though, there's a difference of, like, this stuff is good to know. Like, hey, this is fun to know. Or, hey, it's good to know. Or, hey, we want to make you have as much independence in life as possible.
Right.
You're going to need somebody's help at some point in the game. Like, in life, nobody gets through life alone. Everybody needs a hand from time to time. But the more independent I can make you as a parent, that's part of my job. I want you to stay. I don't want you to ever leave the nest, but it's got to be done. Eventually, you're going to have to leave the nest. My job is to make sure you can fly out of that nest. I don't have to build a ladder for you to climb down. It's the crux of this whole thing. It's not something we may like necessarily, that at a certain point maybe we do want our kids out of the house, but it's not something when they're little you want to think about.
No.
But that's when you have to be doing these things. That's when it has to be done. We're not doing our job if we're not setting these kids up to succeed, to live, to be able to fly on their own.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I find it interesting. I mean, this is about feeling as if, okay, I've got things under control as an adult, not becoming an adult, because how many teenagers can't wait to hit 18 and then they use that whole thing with their parents? Well, I'm 18 now. I'm an adult. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So we love to claim it at that age without fully understanding that there are responsibilities that come with being an adult.
And it's, and when I say it's part of our job as parents, I shouldn't be saying just parents. I think it's a society. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people who don't have kids that are part of society, obviously. And it's on all of us, I think, as a society teaching these certain things. There's certain stuff. Well, if everybody knew how to change their own oil, change a tire, and jumpstart their car, that's great. That's not a bad thing. But are we hurting mechanics? Are we, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing that. I'm not saying that realistic. I just say that in an example. You know, there's something there's also to be said for maybe not everybody knowing how to do certain things.
Well, one of those three I can't do. I never learned how to change my own oil, but you better be sure that my dad would not even let me go for my driver's test until I could show him that I could change a tire. And he made sure that I understood how to, because back in our day, you left your lights on in your car because there was no reminder. You were going to kill your battery. So you had to have a set of jumper cables in your car and you needed to know how to use them.
Yes, you're so right. So right about that.
And unfortunately, a lot of cars now don't even come with a spare tire. Or a tire iron. You're kind of stuck with either, you know, making sure you equip that yourself or
some type of roadside service
that is good enough to, you know, work. I will never forget in 2000 when I was first married, we had a flat tire and the tire iron that came with the car stripped out the first time we tried to. And he was really, really mad that we had to call somebody to come and change the tire because we didn't have the tool.
I've been there with those, and I've been there with my dad. And my dad, it was raining, it was muddy out. We're trying to change his tire, and it just won't go. It just won't give. And I'm trying, and I'm trying, and I can't get it. And he's like, "Fine, you know, Jimmy, let me do it." And you don't see my dad bent out of shape very often. He's a little bent out of shape, and he gets down there, tries it once, misses, and just starts howling, laughing, because apparently the same thing happened to him and my papa once, with a different, you know, Jimmy and all that and everything. And he looks at me and he's like, "Why do they call this Jimmying?" I don't know. It was one of the funniest moments of my life as a kid. Like, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I think that those things where we can say, well, it's not bad necessarily because it's good for, you know, the workforce, the, you know, for mechanics, and not everybody can do these things or whatever. A little bit different with the diaper change one, I'm not letting go of. Every person should have to change a diaper at least once in their life. But I do also think that the food part of this, the grilling, the not being able to prepare meals for yourself or plan out meals for yourself. That gets a little more like cringy to me because we do this to ourselves, and I am the biggest culprit in the universe at this. My mother planned meals out. My mother was a great cook. My dad cooked. My mom cooked. They both did dishes. All that. None of this is their fault. None of this is on them. This falls on me. There's only so much a parent can do. They did their very best. At a certain point, it comes to the individual, and this is on me. And that's where, like, for me, I got into habits at a young age. When I first got my first apartment in 18, and I'm living on my own, and there's nobody, no higher up. There's nobody I have to answer to or anything like that. Well, I got this big refrigerator. I don't know what I have all that room for other than for beer, my Arm & Hammer thing and some milk, like because I love cereal and I had
leftover
to have milk.
Pizza.
There was some leftover pizza every once in a while, but there wasn't a lot of leftover pizza. I used to tend to eat that whole thing. I'm still eating that way. Yeah. I've gotten a lot better, but I'm still, now that's on me and my personal habits. But I fell into those habits early on for this reason or that. That part is a little worrisome to me, I guess. That's all.
But growing up for me, I had a mom that was mostly a stay-at-home mom until we all got into high school, college age. And so she would do all of this without us being around, so we never saw that, all we saw was her making the meal. And she taught us how to make the meal, but she never taught us that going into the week, here's what you need to do to make sure that you get all of your supplies. And now with two, both parents, if it's a two-parent home, both parents working outside of the home, there's less and less time to teach those skills at home. And I'm thankful that they've now got family consumer sciences at middle school and not just high school, where they're trying to help compensate and teach some of these skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, very much.
Because parents can't do it all. Mm-mm. And there are certain skills that are really, really important to learn. and school is a great place to learn them.
Mm-hmm. Well, to the point of this article, not only agree with everything you guys just said there, and especially the part of there's enough on parents' plates, but also there's certain things we probably don't want parents teaching because they don't know what they're doing. They Possibly. Don't. They yep. can't teach them. They can't. Yep.
And to say it that way is not to say, okay, the onus is now on the school system. It's on the parents to follow up on it as well. When they come home and say, hey, Mom, I learned this at school, say, great. How about we help you learn how to do it more. Let's help you practice it. And then the parents can become engaged with it then. It
comes back to what I was saying before. The onus is on society. Mm-hmm. It's that certainly it starts with the parents because they had the kid. It's, you know, personally, it's a responsibility thing. But then it does go to the teachers, to, you know, to whatever other leadership individuals there are, leaders there are in that child's life. Mm-hmm. Like that, it takes a village. I mean, we all get this, right? Yep. I think we all do, don't we? Don't mm-hmm. we all understand that it takes a village? Like, I thought that was kind of that was a big book about it and stuff, and there's an old quote about it. I feel like we all get this. I like the idea of it too in some ways. I think it makes everybody's job important, mm-hmm. everybody important. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the idea of getting away from this idea that we have we're so over labeling nowadays. That's not jazz. That's jazz fusion, Latin, Middle Eastern rock. We've got to over define everything. Mm-hmm. We've got to over label everything. Certain stuff. I feel like it just is. Like society just is. Raising a child or growing up in a society just is. There's no over labeling. Well, you know, it's this your job to do this, and only you. Or I'm not doing that because it's your job or what mm-hmm. have you. No. We're all got a stake in this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And another thing I think is great is if your kid learns something in school that you didn't know, have them show you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand how this math works. Show me. Show me how you do it.
I don't know how many people out there listening are like second, third generation, but that's something that I saw happening mm-hmm. in our family is, you know, especially with like English and somebody not knowing it and being able to teach it to a relative mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing to watch an 8 or 9 year old teaching a 50, 60 year old and then completely engaged, you know, like the 56 year old right on the edge of their seat, completely engaged and listening to that 8 year old like they are, you know, the president or something. Like, it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
But that, I think that's also part of the point of this article is that there's no age where we feel that we have everything together, that we know everything, that we've got this down. That's what just living is about. Every day we learn, we grow, we experience, and that's what helps us become who we are.
And it keeps us young.
Yeah.
That there's a reason that they're doing this article, that they're doing all this, and we're talking about this and everything. It's normalizing this.
Yeah.
Normalizing that, hey, if you're not married and have 2.5 kids by your time you're 25, that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's not for everybody. The idea that this, you know, is normal or that is normal. Guess what? Nothing's normal.
No.
Nothing's normal. Nothing. And we're all weird. We're all crazy. We're all strange. This world is weird and crazy and strange.
Yeah.
My God, have you seen a platypus? Have you seen a platypus?
Someone you know that God has a sense of humor.
Look at a platypus once and then remind yourself that this creature has been, we've normalized this creature for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Like, and how did we normalize a platypus? Like, that's just one little example. Like, mm-hmm. there's a billion of them because everything is strange and weird, and that should be embraced and loved and cherished. That's a good part of life. And the fact that we don't have our quote together, you know, our blank together, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. Don't beat yourself up. Give yourself some grace about that. Now, I don't think that you want to be 90 and still living in your parents' basement. I think that there's a line in the sand with some of this stuff and everything. But at the same time, I think that we should be able to give ourselves grace. Not mm-hmm. everybody goes at the same pace, at the same schedule.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It takes a while for some to learn certain skill sets.
Mm-hmm. And don't be embarrassed to ask to, you know, somebody to show you. You know, I don't know how to do this, and this is something that I know I'm going to need to do, so where can I go to find somebody to help me learn this?
That being
and take the awkwardness out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. That being said, Mom, I'm still probably never going to learn law. I'm probably never going to be an attorney, Mom. That's never going to happen. She keeps holding out hope. That or the piano. It actually came, like, I make this joke, so, because it's kind of an old joke, that, you mm-hmm. know, Jewish mothers wanting their kids to be a doctor right. or a lawyer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the other day it comes up, and I look at my mom, and I see her look at her face and stuff, and I swear to you, there's a little twinge of her, like, kind of. Like, well, wait a minute. I thought I was just joking here. Did you really want me to... Maybe a little. She wanted me to be an attorney. Maybe just a little. Yeah. I always thought it was a joke, but I guess there was a little bit of truth in that joke. we're going to take a break from here. We got about a minute to take you up to the top of the hour. I did want to mention that tomorrow on the morning show, Melissa and I will be hanging out, and then we will kick off Morning Magazine. We will kick it off with our friends from the Historic Point Boss. We have, we're going to talk, we're going to preview the Sugar Bush event coming up. Ooh, looking forward to that. Good. And at 10:30, we'll talk with our friends from the United Way. Looking forward to that as well. Of course, we got Playmakers coming up in about a little over an hour. Be sure to join us for that. I do believe Randy Paul will be in with us today. Afterwards, Randy probably going to be taking a break for a couple of weeks, a show or two. There's not a lot of wiggle room for him to be able to take breaks during the sports school right. season, so we might be that. But we are looking forward to Playmakers today and your opportunity to call up and join the conversation. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Get your sports thoughts and feelings ready for Playmakers. And join us every Monday for Playmakers from 10 to 11. We are sending a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the kitchens open. It's coming up right here on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown.